Hey, yo, check this out. It's DJ Khaled. There's shows, and there's the Jalen and Jacoby show. Major key alert. Don't ever play yourself.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together we're Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Happy Friday to everyone. Happy Friday to you, Jalen. And it is a very special Friday because we are just over 48 hours away from the debut of The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan Bulls documentary that we have been lucky enough to see the first two episodes of. And it is excellent. It is amazing. It is going to take over the globe
and
make you forget about Tiger King. So we've been counting down to this momentous occasion on Sunday evening, and we're going to continue Jalen Jacoby's The Last Dance Countdown. Make sure you don't just watch The Last Dance episodes over and over, that you also listen to the Jalen Jacoby After Show, where we will be interviewing with Jason Hare. And Jason Hare also told a little story of what Michael Jordan told him. Here's what the director, Jason Hare, said Michael said to him. Michael said the following, quote, "When people see this footage, I'm not sure they're going to be able to understand why I was so intense, why I did the things I did, why I acted the way I acted, why I said the things I said." Now, Jalen, Michael Jordan's reputation is not as an open teddy bear, lovable kind of supportive teammate. And what exactly do you think Michael Jordan is referencing when he talks about people are going to think that he's a horrible person?
His reputation and legacy is bulletproof, and he's earned that, Jacoby. And I've always appreciated guys like him and Derek Jeter to a different extent to achieve so much success at their sport, arguably be the best at doing what they do, yet keep their personal lives really private. Dedicating yourself to the game plus being a public figure, that's a very tough balance. And so now what Michael is talking about, being the number one pitch man of former athletes, the owner of a current team, when you hear certain locker room talk, when you see what he had to say and how he insulted Jerry Krause and some of the things that happened behind the scenes, and you're going to see him champagneing and campaigning, I'm sure at some point he doesn't want people who didn't live that legacy and didn't watch him play to judge him based on what they're going to see in this very emotional documentary of their team winning its sixth championship.
And one thing that's so special about this documentary is Jason Hare, the director, and the team, they have some footage, some fly-on-the-wall documentary-style footage of this one season. They're focusing on the 97-98 season, which was the second of their three-peats. And you have to remember, this is an intense Michael Jordan, and it's also about 22 years ago. So imagine if someone said, you know what we're going to do, Jalen? We're going to do the story of you, but what we're going to do is we're going to do it through the lens of you from 22 years ago. Just imagine some of the things that they would unearth of you, and I can imagine how you would have a little hesitation about wanting to share that with the world in such a format.
I'll take it a step further. There was a story done about me, the Fab Five documentary, directed by Jason Hare, who's also doing this MJ doc. And Jacoby, it was over 25 years ago. And just think of some of the things I said about Duke and my brother Grant Hill, and he turned around and did an op-ed. It was one of those things that people were looking at me like I was saying those things about how I felt today when I teleported myself into how I felt in the early 90s. So sometimes it's hard for people to distinguish between the two.
One thing that's so great about this documentary is you get sort of the behind-the-scenes, fly-on-the-wall verite footage that we just mentioned. You get a couple great interviews with Michael Jordan, great interviews from other people. And another thing, you just get to watch Michael Jordan play basketball. And, you know, it's been a long time, and sometimes you forget just how dominant he was. And Dominique Wilkins, who is dominant himself, told a story about Michael Jordan visiting the Hawks locker room. He walks in their locker room before the game and says, "Lace them up. It's going to be a heck of a night." And then he went out to drop 61 points on them. Now, Jalen, I need you to take us behind the curtain on this one. How rare is it for a player from another team to walk in the opposing home team's locker room and then talk trash and then walk it on the court?
And so a different undercurrent, and we definitely going to get my brother Dominique on the show. He has stories on stories on stories. The undercurrent, Jacoby, is that both of these guys went at it not only in the Eastern Conference, but during All-Star Weekend. And both of those guys had a lot of parallels earlier in their careers. Just like I'm old enough to remember who's better between Michael Jackson and Prince arguments, I'm old enough to remember who was better between Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan arguments. Both prolific scorers. He was rocking the Atonics with the flat cut, 50-inch vertical, putting up big numbers. MJ had brand Jordan. He was licking out his tongue, banging on people. So it went a little bit deeper when he played against Neek and he played against the Hawks. And poor Randy Whitman. Poor Randy Whitman. He was like me when Kobe scored 81. He was like me in 1998. He just a bug on the windshield. You know, I feel for guys like him and Craig Elo. You know, you go against these great players and they achieve so many amazing things and then people say how great they are. But then turn around and tell you, you stink. You can't have both. If he's so very great, then how can I stink? Because he dominated me.
Yeah, that's what happens. Some tells me if we tried hard enough, we could find some footage of all the greats putting buckets right on your head. Jalen, it is now time. I mean, this entire show is going to be a special about Michael Jordan and
yes,
this documentary.
It should be.
And it is now time for The Last Dance Michael Jordan themed soft move or boss move. Michael Jordan is famously competitive, and some of that is explored in this documentary film. And just a little example of how competitive he is. He has a relationship with all the people that work, you know, in Chicago where they play, and one of which is a security guard. We've all seen footage of the NBA players, you know, giving a pound to the security guard. They always have a relationship. And what he would do with this security guard is they would bet on, like, the Jumbotron games. You know, like, they would have little races, whatever, A, B, C, pick one. They would have a little race and see which one won. He would bet on that every single night with the security guard. He ended up taking $4,000 from the security guard. But he is so competitive that what he would do is go to the Jumbotron operators and get tipped off and then cheat and take money from the security guard. Jalen Rose, cheating and taking money from the security guard when you're Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Soft move or boss move?
This is a soft move. I thought you were about to say he took the security guard's money and he would give it back to him. He would bring him gifts. He bought him a car one day. He bought him a few suits one time. I thought you was going to say he made sure the car was parked. Remember, MJ was one of those cats when the Bulls built their new arena that they still play in, cats had to park outside. Only MJ initially was parking inside next to the bus. So the security guard was crucial. I know him, the same security guard. And so I feel so bad that MJ took his bread and cheated.
Here's the genius about this, Jalen, is if you're MJ, you can't win every single time. So every once in a while, he would throw a couple just to keep the security guard interested. And that is just evil competitive genius of Michael Jeffrey Jordan. We will continue to celebrate Michael Jordan and preview The Last Dance. Stay tuned. It's Jalen and Jacoby.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, no longer live from the South Street Seaport, live from home, but still brought to you by delicious Heineken beers. Jalen, we will continue our Last Dance countdown just to get you ready for this documentary. And we have been lucky enough to see episode one and episode two because we have a podcast. Make sure you subscribe and listen to that podcast. We have a podcast for after show for every single episode. And episode two was really
all
interesting.
All 10, each one. With the director, Jason Ayer. Exclusive content from Jalen and Jacoby. Check us out.
In the beginning of episode 2 did not feature Michael Jordan. They told the story of Scottie Pippen. And if you remember, you remember just how contentious the relationship between Scottie Pippen and the Bulls was, especially in this year that the documentary focuses on. And Jalen, Scottie spoke about it. And he said the following. He said he is unbothered. And he said, quote, I like to associate myself with winning. Huh. Jalen, what do you think about Scottie Pippen's comments about his relationship with the Chicago Bulls franchise?
For some reason, the late Jerry Krause never had a true appreciation for a guy that he helped develop, drafted out of Central Arkansas in Scottie Pippen. Usually when you discover a player from a small school, you take victory laps over the fact that he's become an all NBA player and one of the top 50 players of all time. You don't dismiss him and not take care of him when you have the opportunity and then basically brag about it. Think about it. This doc was in 1998. I got drafted in 1994, and I told you the night before the draft, I was on the phone with Jerry Krause, and he was potentially going to trade their lottery pick and Scottie Pippen to Seattle for Sean Kemp and potentially me.
Wow.
How about that? So a few years later, Scottie Pippen only won 3 straight championships and didn't get taken care of. And lastly, to close down this story, get that out of here, Humphreys, the OG. Scottie Pippen, terrific point forward, Jacoby. And after he left Chicago, just like MJ played for other squads, people sleep on the fact, so did Scottie. And they never won championships without each other. Remember, Kobe crosses him over and throws the lob to Shaq against Portland? I thought I was going to play against him in the 2000 finals. And now you graduate a couple of years. I think this is 2002, 2003. You know who was my teammate to start the season? Scottie Pippen. How about the beginning of the year, Jacoby? Look at this.
Look at you with the triple XL shirt. You got Eddie Curry, same size shirt as Eddie Curry.
No doubt about it. And I'm pretty sure since it's already out there, he won't mind me saying this. Because he was past his prime and he wasn't really about being productive. At that time, he felt like the Bulls owed him a debt. And I believe that they did too. That's why I appreciate seeing him sitting on the front row. He deserved that love. He should be on the payroll. Jacoby, I'm young, you know, got traded there halfway through the year, February. I go out, play 83 games that year, average like 24 for the Bulls to close out the year. The next year, we got Tyson, we got Eddie, we got Scottie. I'm like, yeah, we about to do some things. So we have a practice or whatever, and Scottie's the OG. He really didn't practice. He was kind of resting, getting himself healthy from the off season. So we in the steam room, and I'm like, yo, we about to do this year. It's about to go down this year. He was like, I ain't doing nothing for these mofos. They owe me. I looked at him.
Yeah. Like, all those aspirations you got, Jay, young man, that's not where my head's at. I'm cashing these checks and not getting hurt, and riding off into the sunset as he did. And of course, we're talking about Scottie Pippen. This is not just about Michael Jordan. It's about the team. And there's so many personalities on this team. Steve Kerr and Phil Jackson and Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. But there's no personality bigger than Dennis Rodman. Now, Rodman sort of gets forgotten a lot when you talk about the Bulls, and especially this three-peat from the Bulls. What did Rodman add to this team that was so special and needed?
And he's another guy, Jacoby, that came from a small college, got discovered by Captain Jack McCloskey in Detroit, was nurtured by Chuck Daly and the Bad Boys Pistons, won a couple of championships there. And Chicago was, and I'm going to use this word, our rival. You remember in 1991 when the Pistons walked off the floor and didn't shake their hands? Dennis Rodman was on that squad. And so he eventually joined the Bulls. That was something in itself and became a defensive player of the year again. He had already did that in Detroit, a dominant rebounder and literally one of the best players in the entire game. But he was an eclectic, emotional personality. In Detroit, there was a time when he was late at night in the back of his pickup truck with a shotgun, talking about potentially committing suicide. And then he got to Chicago, and there's going to be so many things about his off-court life and potential drug and alcohol use and decision-making and being eclectic and kicking a cameraman and having his hair blonde and so many tattoos everywhere on his body. So he was a guy and so many piercings. He changed, in theory, what a mainstream athlete could look like. Allen Iverson did it for the culture, but he made it to where we can like be rock stars because that's how he dressed. That's how he looked and that's how he rolled. So yeah, Jordan was on Oprah and Scottie Pippen was on Arsenio, but he was on mainstream late night talk TV. And that's the greatness of Dennis Rodman. And that's why he's one of the best to ever do it.
Absolutely. Now, Michael Jordan, this is the story of the 97-98, the last of his six champions. But there's an interesting story from his very first championship. Now, it is tradition where major sports, when you win a championship, you go visit the White House. It's a little bit of a press opportunity. And the Bulls had a chance to do that after Michael Jordan's very first championship. His first opportunity to go to the White House, he did not go. Instead, he went golfing with an alleged drug dealer and gambled with him all day. Jalen, when I heard this story, I was like, I was probably like his fourth or fifth one. He's been there before, done that. But it was his very first opportunity to go, and he instead golfed and gambled. What does this tell you about Michael Jordan off court and his priorities?
His competitive spirit, Jacoby, is second to none. And we now see the current athlete, and I tell you, these guys train 24/7, 365, in order to keep up with the best of the best. In the 90s and before that, guys just worked out. There were days they didn't play ball. It was times they didn't work out. And they were times like Jordan, he was out at the casino. He was on the golf course. He was enjoying his best life, but yet and still dominant when he got on the floor.
Well, Michael Jordan is the undisputed GOAT, greatest of all time. But after this, we're going to tell you about another GOAT that's about to be drafted tonight. We will tell you who that is right after this. You got to give the people.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Welcome back to Jalen Jacoby, and thank you for tuning in. Now, the Jalen Jacoby Experience does not begin and end with just Jalen and Jacoby television show and podcast. We have a new podcast that we are launching that we're so excited about, the Jalen Jacoby After Show, The Last Dance. That's right. After every single episode, 1 through 10, we will have a review episode podcast where you'll get me and Jalen's thoughts on the episode, some special guests, and every single episode we will be joined by the director of the film, Jason Hare. It is something we're very proud of. Make sure you subscribe to that. Now, as we all anticipate this documentary, there's a lot of stories about Michael Jordan coming out, and this one from his former Wizards teammate, Jared Jeffries, I absolutely can't wait to share with you. He said the following, quote, Antoine Walker pulls up in some Ferrari, and he was like, he just got it. MJ was like, you know what? I'm going to bring a different color Ferrari every day this week with a matching Jumpman jumpsuit. Bro, he pulled up in a Ferrari with a matching Jumpman jumpsuit for the whole 5 days we were playing. That's the kind of swag he had. Now, Jalen, having one Ferrari is great, okay? But having five Ferraris is even better. But having five Ferraris with matching outfits, I mean, that is when you are the greatest of all time. Have you ever had a matching outfit for your car?
Of course. I'm from Detroit, Jacoby. Whether it was my burgundy Omni, whether it's my green Dodge Shadow, What is my white Honda Accord? My
See, black you look natural. Yukon? My you look natural there.
Burgundy Suburban? Doesn't work for me. My I look first like I just blue Benz? With the beige interior? Absolutely.
I look like I'm about to ask you for a tip. And you see how you had sneakers on and they gave me hard bottoms? That's what I have to have. I know my role on this show. But it's just like the competitive nature of Michael Jordan just permeates through every single aspect of his life. He sees another millionaire professional basketball player pull up in a Ferrari and he's like, you know what? I know that they're proud of themselves. I know he's proud of that Ferrari and he feels great and he wanted everyone to see it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull up in five. You look like you are about to take us behind the curtain.
Here's how this works. When you're the young player, you go to the dealership, they sit you down, you see the ticket of the vehicle, they make you think they're knocking a couple of dollars off. You sit there and you sign basically your life away. It seems like it's 24 hours before you actually get the keys. And then you leave, you show up, and you really happy, and then you run into a goat like Michael Jordan, who all he has to do is get on the phone, and they're going to bring the Ferraris to him every day. He don't even have to pay a dime. He don't even have to own them. He purposely has the relationship with the Ferrari dealer, Jacoby, where they're just going to park a fresh one for him so he can prove his point. Same with the Jumpman gear. What do you think he had to do to get the gear? Walk to the closet? This is Michael Air Jeffrey Jordan.
And Michael Air Jeffrey Jordan is the greatest of all time. But Jalen, you and I have been tracking a baby goat, a goat in training all college basketball season long. And tonight is the night that she will officially become an NBA player. Of course, we are talking about Sabrina Ionescu. Jalen Rose, we have been tracking Sabrina all season. And now is the night that she will become a WNBA player. What do you expect from her in the league?
And so the thing I appreciate about her, Jacoby, is her basketball intellect and her pace. That's how you can score the points that she scored, grab the boards that she's grabbed, drop the dimes that she has terrific court sense and discipline out there. And based on her leadership and her productivity, she's going to be a terrific player for years in the WNBA. Congratulations on getting drafted tonight.
Congratulations to her. Congratulations to all of us in quarantine who get something new to watch this weekend. Tune in to The Last Dance Sunday night. We'll be back on Monday.
Sometimes I dream that he is me.
Thank you for listening to Jalen Jacoby, and make sure you tune in to The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series begins this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, and listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by us, Jalen and Jacoby, immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts.